The Gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, which you can find on page 946 of your pew Bibles. Hear the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.' Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his hands and his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Testing. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, on the morning that you rose, everything changed. Death lost its grip. The grave gave up its claim, and you walked ahead out for your people. Meet us today on the road that we are running, where we are still living as though death wins. Correct us. Where we are holding back, release us. And give us the courage to live as though the world really has turned upside down. Because it has. In his name. Amen. Please be seated. So this is the opportunity to give you my welcome. If you don't know me, my name is Reverend Dan Beasley. I'm the rector of this parish, and it's a great joy to serve alongside Paul, our associate priest, this morning. It is Easter Sunday, a day that is so joyous in our hearts. We celebrate this every Sunday, Easter Sunday. Every Sunday that we come into church, we celebrate this. But this is the special day, as it were, as we have just travelled through Holy Week. And I'm so glad you can come and join us in the church, with the church looking so beautiful. I will say at the end, do take some time to look at the flowers. I was in the church yesterday when the flowers were there, and I came in for the service at 8 a.m. this morning and noticed more flowers that I didn't notice yesterday. There's so many, it's beautiful. And also on the windowsills, or the window ledges, there are, over the past few weeks, little scenes that our Sunday school children have been creating about Easter and Holy Week. And they're just fantastic. So please do spend time looking at those after. So let's get into God's word. The resurrection of Jesus did not simply restore what death had taken. It overturned the entire order of things. And nothing, not even the way that we live this week, can remain the same because of it. We all carry assumptions about how the world works. Some of them we have examined, but most of them we haven't. They sit quietly underneath everything that we do, doing their work without any announcement in our lives. And one of the deepest of all of these is death. Death is a fixed point, the door that only opens one way, the thing that you cannot argue with. You can't negotiate your way around, and you cannot outlast. On the first Easter morning, two women walked towards a tomb carrying exactly that assumption. They were not walking towards a miracle, they were walking towards a grave. To do what you do at graves, to grieve, to honor, and to accept. But what happened next did not just surprise them. It broke that assumption of death entirely. Matthew tells us that there was a great earthquake as the woman approached. This is not incidental. Matthew has used earthquakes before. When Jesus died, the earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs in Jerusalem broke open. Now, 3 days later, the earth moves again. Creation cannot contain what is happening. And Matthew records that moment with precision. He writes, "There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it." Notice what the stone is not rolled back to do. It's not rolled back to let Jesus out, because he has already gone. The stone is rolled back to let the people look in, to see the emptiness, and also to be confronted by it. The resurrection did not need an audience. It had happened anyway. And the guards, the Roman soldiers posted to keep death under control, well, they shake and they fall down like dead men. The tension in this scene is sharp. The men sent to guard become the ones who fall. The one they are containing is the one who becomes free. Every human system of control has just been exposed as smaller than it thought it was. That is the revelation of this moment. Power is not where and what we assumed it was. And then the angel speaks to the woman, and this is what he said. "Do not be afraid, for I know you for the one you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." There are three things in that sentence. Do not be afraid. This is not a request to feel differently. It is a reorientation. The thing that you feared most, death winning, has not happened. He has risen. Not he recovered, not he survived, but he has risen. The Father has acted. The verdict of the cross has been overturned, just as Jesus had said. This was not accidental. It's not a surprise ending. Jesus had said this would happen, and it did. Now here is the tension that we have to sit with. If Jesus said that this would happen, and it did, then everything else that he said that is written in the Bible demands to be taken seriously. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He said that those who believe in him will not perish. He said he was going to prepare a place for those who believe in him. And he said he would come back again to collect us, to take us to that place. The resurrection does not just answer one question. It puts weight behind every word that he ever spoke. And then we hear those words. "Come and see the place where he lay, and then go and tell." The angel does not say, "Go and reflect," or "Go and decide what to do and go when you are ready." He says, "Go quickly and tell," because he is going ahead of you. The risen Jesus is already on the move, already ahead of his people, already at the next place before they arrive. And Matthew's story does not end in that garden. The risen Jesus keeps moving, and so does the news about him. We fast forward a few weeks when they heard the reading from Acts, and Peter is standing in the house of a man called Cornelius. who's a Roman soldier, a Gentile, who is outside the Jewish nation, the Jewish religion, and outside the boundary of who was supposed to receive this good news. Because the good news they thought was just for the Jewish nation, but it's actually for the world. So listen how this begins. He says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. The resurrection has not just broken a tomb, it has broken the walls that human beings build up between each other. And Peter names that tension plainly. He had assumed that this message was for his people. He had been interrupted by God 3 times before he could walk through Cornelius' door. But standing there, he sees it. The world that has been turned upside down is turned upside down for everyone. And then he names the hinge of everything. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. They killed him, but God raised him. That is the hinge. Human power did its worst, and it wasn't enough. And that's where it lands. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of their sins through his name. Everyone. Not the deserving, not the prepared, not those who have their lives in order, not those who say, I am not good enough because I've done this or I haven't done this, but everyone. There isn't one person so far away from God that they can't receive his forgiveness. Everyone, including myself. Matthew says that the women left the tomb with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy together. That is an honest combination. Because if the resurrection is true, it is not just comforting, it is demanding. A world turned upside down asks you to stop living as though it is still the right way up. We have to understand this. And when we know him, our lives must reflect what he has done and how he has called us to live. And here is what that looks like concretely. It means that you stop treating death as the thing that defines the boundaries of what matters. You stop living as though this life is all there is, as though security is found in what you accumulate, as though the approval of others is worth the cost that you pay for it. It means you become someone who serves without needing credit, forgives without keeping score, loves people who cannot pay you back, because you are not operating by the economy of a world where death wins. And it means also that you go. The woman ran. They did not have the full picture. They had an empty tomb and a word from an angel, and they ran to tell someone. You don't have to wait until you have everything worked out. You go with what you have been given. And then, as they were doing that, Jesus meets them on the road. And Matthew captures this moment. He says, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. The first word that the risen Lord says is a greeting. He is not remote. He meets them mid-journey, mid-run, in the middle of their fear and their great joy, and of their not yet understanding. And this is where he meets people, on the road that they are already on. Peter stood in a room full of people who had no reason to accept this news, and told them that the world had changed. And he is saying the same thing here today, and across the world in every sermon, I pray. If you've never trusted the risen Jesus, the door is not closed because what you have done or what you have not done. Everyone who believes receives forgiveness. Everyone. And that means you this morning. And if you already belong to him, You walked in here this morning carrying assumptions about what is safe, what is possible, what is worth the cost. And most of them are still organized around the idea that death wins. Then you have to understand that that is not true anymore, because the resurrection changed everything. So we need to name those things, whether we're on our journey or we know him. We need to name the fear that still has the final word in our decisions, the school that we keep keeping against other people, the life that we are still living as though everything in our fears is still there. We need to bring it under the authority of the empty tomb. And for those of you who have been running, who have been living this way for years, through the cost, through the seasons when it made no obvious sense, Easter is not a challenge for you today. It is a confirmation of declaring Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You bet on the right thing. The women left the garden with fear and great joy, running before they had the full picture, and Jesus met them on the road. And the good news, no matter where you are, he will meet you there too. The world has been turned upside down by an empty tomb and the resurrected Christ. So let's go live like it. Amen.